Hey there. Hi. I'm TD McIntosh, and this is my first foray into actually reading my stuff out loud, as well as doing it for a podcast. I'll actually be doing this for YouTube. I'll be putting the audio into YouTube as well, so welcome to Heroic Fantasy on the Go, where I read excerpts of my work, as well as indie authors that I know their works, once they give me permission to do so. And it's all just for, because I believe that fantasy should be heard anywhere, just like an audiobook. So you can hear my nervousness, I'm sorry. Alright, so a brief introduction to this episode. It is the short story that I originally wrote for my character, Pumpkin Oatscourt. Pumpkin, she started off as being like a magical girl, because at that time I was trying to write an epic fantasy, and that was a collaboration that fell through, so I wanted to stay in a fantasy mindset, and I was studying, like looking at magical girls, seeing their execution, and I wanted to do my own. And another thing, Halloween was around the corner, so I wanted a witch that was themed on Halloween, not just a witch that came around during Halloween. So after some research, even though I didn't finish the story until November, I wrote Pumpkin Oatscourt's Game of Hide and Seek, because the story inspiration came from a memory of mine where I played hide and seek, and we were in a abandoned house when we were kids, and I thought the place was haunted. So I just said, how would a game of hide and seek go in a fantasy world where spirits are real? So sit back and enjoy the story. Pumpkin Oatscourt's Game of Hide and Seek. Festival Grounds, Hollowmoor. It was finally Halloween, and as soon as the sun set properly, the music kicked up in a near-deafening orchestra and spread across town. They made sure not to make too much noise, for fear the King of Hollows would magically apparate into the sky as a gigantic and frightening head, bellowing for them to shut up. The last time he did that, the townspeople's ears were ringing for 2 weeks. As the rum was passed around, food was cooked, and the dancing began, the costumes followed suit. Their realm was unlike any other, so their masquerade, for lack of a better term, came in the form of highly detailed masks bearing the face of different creatures. Excuse me. Ancient devils and gods and heroes got their time to walk amongst the living once more in the form of giggling children, bolting to and fro like badgers evading danger. Hey, have you ever played Quiz Finari? A kid questioned his friends, a small roving band of upstarts who were known to play pranks around Hollowmoor for cheap laughs. As they entered the town square, all eyes were on them in an instant. Yeah, a girl responded with long pink hair who jumped in excitement. It's that secret game that all the cool kids play with gold jacks. They play it in creepy places, right? She kept jumping, her pouch of gold jacks jingling with each step. Excuse me. I heard only ghosts play the game. It's really cool. A husky kid who looked older than he was and wore a mask of a bear-like creature in mid-roar spoke up. His voice hinted at him being the threshold of puberty, and he easily towered over the rest of his gang. Yeah, I guess, retorted the kid standing next to the burly one, easily the shortest of the bunch. His voice let off a whiny tone. But I also heard that it's really dangerous. Those who go to play never come back. The boy lowered his head as if suddenly stricken with fear. Everyone says not to go near whenever they're playing. The leader nearly jumped on the smaller kid. That's exactly what's so cool about it. I bet they're just trying to keep all the fun to themselves, You know how the cool kids get. Wait, I thought we were cool too, the husky kid stated, and the so-called leader made unsure sounds. Well, we are. We're so cool, the other cool kids are afraid to talk to us. Oh, okay, the husky boy chuckled. It was too easy to convince him. The smaller boy stepped up to the leader and fought to keep his knees from quivering. I heard that devils created the game. If you look into their lights, you're lost forever. The leader burst into hollow laughter from behind his mask. Devils! The people near them looked on with curiosity, hoping the band of delinquents weren't planning some new plank that would take days for them to clean up. They had their ears pulled for unleashing mayhem on Hollowmoor, and the next town would get them a one-way ticket to the King of Hollow's throne room. The meek one continued, Yeah, they say devils made it to have fun each Halloween. Their lights are so alluring. Little devil kids run around and only gold can distract them, he explained and pantomimed with his hands to drive his point home. If you follow them, they'll snatch you up in a burlap sack. I heard a lot of kids went to go play last Halloween and never came back. The burly boy spoke up, working to hide his sudden fear. Stop with the ghost stories. That's a pile of crap. You're totally lying. As if on cue, another girl appeared beside the leader, her mask in the shape of a fox. She stood as thin as a rail, not moving, not breathing. The frightful boy nearly jumped out of his skin when he noticed her. She spoke as if her voice was put through a filter. The other kids disregarded it as a feature of her mask or some weird vocal trick, yet the meek boy couldn't shake his uneasy feelings about the new girl. Maybe he's not lying. Letting loose a huff, the meek one dialed back his fear to keep providing information. It's no lie. Okay, my friend once told me he once saw a wraith with 5 candles on his fingers walking through a forest while he was trying to get home. The leader boy cocked his head to the side while the first girl, who stood in silence until now, decided to speak up. Then why don't we ask your friend more about it? Where does he live? The meat boy lowered his head. It almost sounded as if he fought back tears. I haven't heard from him since he told me. His mom said he disappeared. The leader threw up his hands. You see? His exclamation attracted more people's attention, and several adults itched to tell the congregating children to move along. Why don't we all go there and find out for ourselves? What? The meek boy yelped. No way! All right, kids, a larger man shouldering a slab of meat came up from behind, startling them all. Let's move it along. The kids were ushered forcefully from the main square until they were out of sight, out of mind. Now on a quiet street, where the only place still open was a fortune-telling shop with a huge tree poking from its roof and a private investigation firm, the small gang looked around for anyone else who could interrupt them. Looks like no more looky-loos, the leader noted as he situated his hands on his hips. Now back to what I was saying. The girl in the fox mask laughed. Her giggle felt empty, but it was loud enough to keep the other kids' attention. What's so funny? The husky kid lumbered forth as if he meant to strike her. The game you're so eager to play, she answered. Under her breath, she continued, fools are so easily amused. What was that? Her current opponent was suddenly filled with bravery. Wait, you know about it? The leader spoke up, holding back his feisty friend. You better not be jerking our chains. The long-haired girl found herself gripped with curiosity. Well, come on, spill the beans. The fox girl laughed again, this time a hearty chuckle. Quizvenari is a secret game known only to those with friends on the other side. It's a game of hide and seek, she explained, circling around the group with her hands before her. Her fingers danced as the girl continued. The only Halloween game worth playing. Sometimes the lights get eerily brighter as the silence mounts. You can't even hear your own breath. And the chosen place becomes a labyrinth. When that happens, it's only a matter of time before you're caught. The others were unnerved while the leader stood strong and brave. So, how do we win? If you follow the right lights and avoid the candle man, you can find your way and win. I hope you have enough gold. The fox girl let loose another giggle as the gang dug in their pockets to pull their gold jacks. Pumpkin Oaksgore sat on a bench outside the Talon Scale Inn and Tavern, both arms crossed, an irritated look set firmly on her face. The 19-year-old couldn't help but feel gypped out of another night of fun due to a job. She patted her cloak to feel around for a bag of concealed candy, but it was absent, which made her drum her lips in exasperation. Forgot to restock my candy from 2 nights ago. Well, that's not a good start. Pumpkin fought not to pout. Being a freelance witch meant she could set her own hours, but when she set out a contract with a magical ping, she was bound to fulfill it, no matter where or when. It was especially prevalent when she was forced to work on a birthday 2 nights ago. At least she could choose who she was able to work with. The Kurabosk rogue, Masaka, leaped from a rooftop and landed in front of Pumpkin with 2 ice cream cones, one in each hand. Pumpkin was unimpressed by her landing and instead stuck her hand out to receive a cone. "One of these days," Pumpkin began, "you're gonna break your knees doing all those ninja flips and crap." "But I am a ninja," Masaka noted as she handed the vanilla cone to Pumpkin, who wasted no time in dabbing her tongue over that. "And if you keep doing that, some saggy perv's gonna get the wrong idea." "My, my, someone's mind is in the gutter," Pumpkin said with her mouth full. "Where's Minora?" Minora was a fae that Pumpkin rescued during her contract 2 nights ago. She was captured by the Yatagarasu clan of ninja and held for an unknown amount of time. And when Pumpkin arrived with the party she was hired to join, Minora pledged herself until the debt was repaid in kind. Masaka looked back and forth, her long ears twitching to pick up specific sounds, namely Minora's distinct fey humming. "She's been cooped up in a cage for spirits know how long. I guess she's gone off exploring Hollowmoor." The rogue opened her mouth wide and swallowed her cone whole. "I don't hear her nearby." Pumpkin's eyes nearly bulged out of her skull. "It still freaks me out when you do that," she commented as she lapped at her small lump of vanilla. "We elves don't need to waste our time or eating. We just get it out of the way." The witch leered at her friend. Masaka noticed this and laughed nervously. "Of course, that's not to say you're wasting your time by eating your ice cream. By all means, take your time." Pumpkin made a noise in her throat before taking another lick. "I can't take my time even if I want to. Where's Minora? She's gonna get left behind." The witch had to make some changes to her lifestyle in order to make sure Minora didn't get herself captured again. Fae were very valuable in the world of masquerade, and snaring one meant you had condensed magic at your beck and call. Minora's blood could heal wounds, and her tears could turn into diamonds. That paled in comparison to the other tricks she was capable of. As Pumpkin finished her ice cream, the familiar humming of a jovial Minora reached her ears. She and Masaka turned to see the young fairy fluttering up and humming while she held a bag of candy. "Oh, Pumpkin," the fae said in her sing-song voice. "I noticed you were out of candy before we left, so I made sure to get you some." Pumpkin's eyes lit up like fireworks. She immediately snatched the bag and hugged it like it was her child. "Kimuna vanilla candy. You made my night, Minora." "It's not Halloween without candy." Minora giggled and twisted in midair while Masaka cracked her neck to look past the two. "Hey," she caught their attention and motioned her head in a nod. "Who's that?" Pumpkin and Minora turned and immediately jumped in surprise. Behind them was a boy half of the witch's size who stood as still as a statue. His face was covered in that of a blank express skull, and he seemed to examine them like a creature sizing up potential new encounters. The witch and fae exchanged looks, Pumpkin looking unsure and Minora emitting a subdued crystalline light as she inched herself between her friends. At a moment's notice, she'd fight or fly away. "I'm sorry, did I startle you?" the skull kid spoke, but he felt off, as if his words just didn't fit in his body. He looked to be no more than 10 years old, but the tone of his voice portrayed knowledge far beyond his years. "That's not a good marking. I'm looking for a witch who isn't so easily scared." Pumpkin's unease quickly flipped as a switch, as her left eye twitched, coupled with a soft growl. "Unfortunately, I take it you pulled my contract?" The Skull Kid was silent and merely looked at the witch. "Why is it unfortunate? Do you not want money?" "Of course I want money. Who doesn't?" Pumpkin answered. Masaka leaned close and added, "Agrarian people." Minora fluttered behind and whispered, "Fairies." "You two aren't helping at all," Pumpkin growled while cutting her eyes at the two as they stifled giggles. "You haven't answered my question." The Skull Kid didn't change posture at all. Neither Pumpkin nor Masaka could read his face due to the mask, and Minora's giggle couldn't erase her nervousness about the boy. "It's because the fourth Halloween night is one big party. I couldn't go to the party this last year, thanks, Mom. And now that I'm out on my own, I'm stuck working." Pumpkin situated her hands at her hips and raised an eyebrow, waiting for an answer. "If you'd like me to, I could withdraw the contract." Pumpkin held up her hand to stop the Skull Kid from talking any further. She shook her head. "You hired me, so I got no choice. Besides, you can't retract the witch's contract." She sighed and recited her next words as if reading from an info pamphlet. "Witches sponsored by the Bronner Institute of Magic are obligated to fulfill a client's request or risk paying a termination fee. So I'm not going to waste money." "It seems money is the big issue here," the Skull Kid responded as he dug his spindly hand into a rucksack. "You bet your sweet bippy it is," Pumpkin began before she was stopped by the large bag of gold jacks the boy produced from out of thin air. Masaka's beady eyes widened, as did Minora, whose own eyes nearly popped from her face. "Just how much money is that?" "Enough money for you to stop being freelanced. I see so much untapped potential within you. It's what drew me to you, but your job holds you back." Pumpkin chuckled. Okay, even I know someone offering this much money wants something in return." The Skull Kid nodded. "Of course. I want you to help me find my sister," he said directly. Masaka, who observed until now, interjected, "Just who are you, kid? I can't smell you or hear you breathing." "That I can't tell you," he answered. "What I can tell you is I care a great deal for my sister, and I need to find her at any cost." "What happens when we find her?" Minora spoke up. "We?" Pumpkin turned to face the fairy. "Yes, we, Pumpkin. I don't want to get left behind again." Minora balled her fists and jutted them up and down. Her cheeks were as vibrant as roses as they puffed up like small berries. "I can't help it because I'm a fairy." "When we find my sister," the Skull Kid continued, "your job is finished. I need someone with considerable magic talent to accompany me." He handed the bag of gold jacks to Pumpkin, who tapped it with her hook-ended scepter, crafted of elderwood, the conduit for her magic. The sapphire bauble suspended from the hook emitted a sparkle, and a jack-o'-lantern emblem within it spun like a top. The sack divided itself into three bags, hers the largest, Masaka's at medium size, and Minora's the smallest. "Well, where do we start?" The Skull Kid turned around and pointed west. "We're heading to Hollow Vault." Pumpkin and Masaka exchanged looks again. "Hollow Vault? That old distillery?" The witch had a perplexed expression as she tried to wrap her mind over the significance of an old dilapidated factory. "It's the chosen location for this year's game of Quisvenari," the Skull Kid informed. The trio's expression went from perplexed to surprised. Masaka spoke up first. "Quisvenari? Oh, crap," Pumpkin uttered. She regretted taking the money now. "Yes, Quisvenari. The game that the witch finished for the Skull Kid. The game of hide and seek with ghosts, basically. Not the friendly kind, the big bad ones." Minora said with fear deep in her gut. "The Candleman." The Skull Kid nodded. "Yes, the Candleman. My sister was taken, and I need your help in finding her." Masaka took Pumpkin by the arm and pulled her about 5 feet away. "Are you crazy?" "Yes, Masaka, I'm crazy. That's me, a complete loony," Pumpkin retorted and threw her hands up. "Some freaky kid comes along?" "I resent being called a freaky kid," the Skull Kid defended himself. "As I said," Masaka continued, some freaky kid comes along and throws money our way to play Quis Venari. So we got a death wish now? Don't you think I know that? Pumpkin crossed her arms and narrowed her eyes. The Candleman, the lights, the whole shebang. I know. Pumpkin, there are some jobs where you need to draw the line, Masaka stated. This coming from a rogue, Masaka. The pot calling the cauldron black and whatnot, the witch retorted. Masaka glared at her friend through luminous eyes. Pumpkin returned the glare. No one's telling you to come, Masaka. I've already given you your share, and the same for you, Minora. But I can really use your help. We just stick together. The rogue and the fairy looked to one another. They both gave a small smile. All right, kid. Lead the way, Pumpkin stated. Hollow Vault, 2 hours later. So why am I hearing a bunch of kids acting a fool nearby? Pumpkin and the group walked through a small forest clearing that slowly became a clear-cut area, opening the way to a small abandoned district. It bore neon signs, old storefronts, and run-down vehicles, and in the rear of it all was the distillery. Why else? Masaka began. Kids love playing with crap they shouldn't. The group looked ahead and saw a group of masked kids, vaulting over various structures, whooping and exploring. The burly masked kid noticed Pumpkin and company approaching and shouted, Hey, who are those guys? The leader of the kids ran up to his friend and stopped short. Some lost trick-or-treaters. Look, sister's escorting a dumb little brother around. He laughed and looked back at his entourage, who picked up their own laughter as well. Pumpkin approached, did a mental head count of each kid and turned to her client. Okay, is the girl right there your sister? She questioned while pointing at the female member of the group, who looked shocked and slightly embarrassed from her body language. No, she is not my sister, the skull kid said, stern as a mast. I don't have a brother, the girl answered, still confused. Hey, who are you guys anyway? Here to horn in on our fun? Did the party back in Hollowmoor kick you out? Please don't make me kick you in the mouth, Pumpkin implored. I will do so without blinking. The wimpy member of the small gang examined Pumpkin closely. Like what you see? Pumpkin asked as the boy reflexively jumped back. Hey, boss, he began. I think she's a witch. Look at her scepter. The so-called boss stepped up to Pumpkin, crossing his own arms. So what, you been hired to take us all home? If I was, there'd be nothing you'd be able to do about it. But nope. If you want to go and fall into a dark void, go ahead. You're not my kid. The bluntness of his statement surprised the boss, and he took a step back. You kids got no idea what you're in for, do you? Masaka questioned. You should get home while you still can. The skull kid scanned the group but didn't find anything of interest. She's not here. Why do you adults always suck the fun out of everything? The girl spoke up. Because if we didn't, Pumpkin began, you'd be dead. Now get the hell out of here before I put you all over my knee. The small gang didn't budge, which made Pumpkin raise her eyebrow. Masaka stifled a laugh and urged Minora to come to her as the witch cracked her neck. Okay, let's try this another way. Pumpkin tapped her scepter and waved her free hand in front of her face. As she did, a gigantic flaming pumpkin appeared in place of her head with a devilish grin across his face. Get home right now, she bellowed with a rumble that quaked the children to their knees. The kids fled, save for the boss, who was rooted to the spot. His pants were soaked and his knees knocked louder than castanets. Pumpkin glared at him. Brave one, aren't you? She cackled like an old crone. Not at all, he whimpered before he took off like a shot. Wait for me, he wailed. Pumpkin snapped her fingers and the illusion dissipated. Masaka howled with laughter while Minora cowered behind a box. Is it gone yet? She asked. The witch stifled her own laughter and said, Yes, it's gone now, Minora. Sorry about that. Fluttering nervously, Minora glanced back and forth. Why would you make such a thing? It got my point across, didn't it? Pumpkin answered while fighting not to burst into a laughing fit. Her laughter was cut short as he heard a new source of eerie disembodied finger. As she heard a new source of eerie, disembodied feminine laughter. Minora's eyes went wide as her head jutted around, searching for sight to add the sound. Masaka's ears played tricks on her, an uncomfortable feeling as it gave her multiple sources to track. Her eyes could pick up nothing useful. Oh, crap, Pumpkin uttered. He's here, isn't he? Tell me, the Skull Kid started, turning unafraid to the witch. What do you know about the Candleman? Some guy with a lantern that older people say is the reason lights can be seen over bogs at night, Minora answered first. Ghost lights, jack-o'-lanterns, hinky punks, corpse candles, will-o'-the-wisps, and fool's fire. You name it, I've heard of it, Masaka added. Her eyes still darted around, keeping track of their surroundings. Pumpkin sighed as her eyes did their own work. He was once called Stingy Jack, a wand blacksmith who invited a demon for a drink. Jack, sorry little ingrate of a cheapskate he was, didn't want to cough up the dough from his own pocket, so he got the bright idea to convince the demon to turn into a coin to settle the tab. Funny enough, that's how Masquerade got its money now, from a cheapskate. The group decided to move towards the distillery as one. Sorry about that. Decided to move towards the distillery one by one. The lights in the old city blinked to life right as they passed. The electricity running through the signs provided a low and spooky hum, and Minora held his pumpkin free arm tight. The demon turned into the coin, but Jack skipped out on the bill and kept the demon in coin form in his pocket, with a silver cross across it to keep it from shifting back. He let it go and made it promise not to seek revenge. I guess it didn't go over so well, Masaka questioned as her blades were fully drawn and gripped tight. Well, Jack managed to trick the demon again and convinced it not to snag its soul. This bit Jack full on the ass, because when he died, his soul turned into a fairy with a pink tutu? Minora commented. Pumpkin and Masaka shot her uncomfortable glares as she immediately buttoned her lips. I'll shut up now. His soul couldn't pass because of its deceptions, Pumpkin started again. The demon gave him an enchanted burning coal to light his way and sent him off into the night to find his own hell. So Jackie Boy put the coal into a carved up pumpkin that bore his grimace at his goof up. He's supposedly been roaming Masquerade with it ever since. So we're being chased by some dill hole who tried to trick the devil. Just flipping wow, Masaka grumbled. Just as she finished speaking, a cold chill ran down the spine of each of them, raising their hair on the backs of their necks. Pumpkin watched as the shadows around them appeared to expand and darken, returning to normal almost immediately. She rubbed her eyes in confusion, chalking it up to be her imagination. Did you feel that? Minora asked, running her hands up and down her arms as if she was freezing. What the heck was that? Masaka demanded, eyes wide as she observed their surroundings with suspicion. You felt the mortal world melding with the spirit world, the Skull Kid explained. What? Pumpkin exclaimed. What exactly does that mean? Everything on the other side is now here with us, he stated. Are you kidding me? Minora muttered, flying closer to Masaka for protection as they moved further into the dark distillery. She elicited a scream as a ghostly apparition abruptly materialized in the outer reaches of light cast by Pumpkin's lantern bomb. Hell! Did you have to scare us all half to death? It's just a ghost? Pumpkin stated, paling as they heard a voice speak from somewhere nearby in the darkness. This is not your grave, but you are welcome in it. What the crap? What the actual crap? Pumpkin fretted as she struggled to maintain focus. She grunted and the lantern bomb increased in volume to provide more light, but as she did, the looming darkness seemed to consume her efforts. Just a ghost, huh? Masaka ensured. Who said that? Keep following me, the Skull Kid urged. Feminine laughter rose again, and the boy reacted by pointing ahead. There! Ahead, they spotted the wispy, fair form of the fox girl, who kept still in a crouch before she giggled and pointed back. She's right there! Ought to blast her right now, Minora squeaked. Trap her in crystal. It won't work, the Skull Kid advised. As they drew closer, the fox girl ran off and the Skull Kid followed. The trio slowed to a stop, exchanging worried looks. He left us. The little turd left us, Pumpkin spoke through a trembling voice. Do not be afraid. I am peace. I am salvation. The women fretted and fought to keep their composure. Minora was on the verge of tears, and Misaka gripped her blades even tighter. Okay, who said that? Pumpkin whined before she corrected her tone. If we die, Minora babbled, I just want to say I ate all the candy behind your cupboard. Pumpkin stopped in her tracks and gave the fairy a death glare. I was hungry. I was the one who sucked all the cream filling out of the pastries in Miss Bagfield's shop, Misaka fessed up. Wait, you're the reason we got banned? Oh my damn, I don't even know you anymore. Pumpkin was flustered, but she had her bearings back. I swear I'm going to get you both when we get out of... Holy crap! The Skull Kid stood motionless in their path, holding up his hand to stop them. She got away. Really? Misaka said. You don't say, Pumpkin followed up. Now the gate has been latched. Headstones pushed aside. Corpses shift and offer room. A fate you must abide. Who is saying that? Pumpkin inquired. The Candleman. He's trying to drive you crazy. The Skull Kid didn't hesitate to answer. Misaka cracked her neck to collect herself. The girl that rabbited, was that your sister? The Skull Kid lowered his head slightly. I believe so. I don't think she's herself. She went to play Quispinari last year, where she was spirited away by the Candleman. Misaka pressed a thumb to her chin. I've heard those rumors. I want to look into them more. Can we save the chatter? Pumpkin interrupted. I want to finish the job and get the heck out of here. The group moved through the distillery, navigating the ins and outs of the facility. Apparitions spooked them, but on they pushed. The fox girl made herself known several times, forcing them to give chase. Pumpkin started to convince herself that they were chasing wind. As they rounded a corner, they were greeted by a new sight. A large apparition in a narrow hallway bearing the only source of light coming from its hand. Minora gasped and Pumpkin clamped her hand over the fairy's mouth. The apparition appeared to take up most of the hallway, towering up to 12 feet tall with no discernible features. It seemed solid, the light in his hands casting a pale blue glow around it, but the group were unable to see past the figure. The sound seemed to drain from their surroundings. Pumpkin's eyes darted frantically as she couldn't hear herself think. She resorted to hand signals to tell Minora to calm down and Misaka to back away slowly. Children's laughter marketed a return to sound, yet it was the only sound present. Pumpkin was the last to back away, and she saw five lights transform themselves into five individual glowing pumpkin masks. Will-o'-the-wisps, the Skull Kid commented. As he spoke, the wisps turned in their direction, prompting the rest to run in the opposite. Oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, Pumpkin sputtered as she held on to Minora and ran full tilt down a corridor. Misaka sped past her and immediately slipped on the ground, her footing lost from some sort of fluid sprayed in their path. This smells like rum? Pumpkin, wait! Pumpkin heard too late as she slipped and tumbled head over heels, while Minora hovered above. The witch smelled herself. Ugh, I smell like that weird guy behind the herb shops that winks at people. Better than the one guy who farted as he... Footsteps ceased their reminiscing as they looked behind him and saw the Candleman standing there with a ring of blue fire in his right hand. It spoke not, slowly lowering his hand to ignite the fluid on the floor. Pumpkin and Misaka clambered onto their feet, quickly protecting their rum-soaked clothing from immolation. The corridor was coated with fire, and Pumpkin twirled her scepter to cast a water spell, spraying it with a high-pressure cannon. It only managed to briefly ebb the sea of flame. Okay, it's trying to kill us, Pumpkin noted. They turned and ran in the opposite direction and immediately skidded to a halt. I am a timeless chorus. Join your voice with mine and sing victory everlasting. The voice came from the wisps, who collectively blocked their path. Pumpkin brandished her scepter, Minora exuded her deep glow, and Misaka brandished her knives. Out of thin air, the Skull Kid appeared and urged them to follow. Misaka wasted no time in zipping past the wisps, faster than Pumpkin's eyes could process, before she dashed down the corridor he pointed her to. Pumpkin pursued her, followed by Minora. The witch slammed two lantern bombs into the whiffs and jumped clear as an explosion consumed the corridor. The skull kid approached Pumpkin with an object in his hand. The darkness made it difficult for her to make sense of what it was. "I am sorry for what you're going through. I found this to make you feel better." He handed her a bottle of a dragon spice rum. Pumpkin's eyes lit up brighter than fireworks. "Vintage Artemis Vantage Dragon Spice Rum?" I found an entire case below. Before he could finish, the skull kid was yanked along as Pumpkin ran in the direction he pointed. The group found themselves in the main production section, and the skull kid motioned towards a small box. Sure enough, there were unbroken bottles of vintage rum. "Oh my goodness, enough to last for 3 weeks!" Pumpkin tapped the box with her scepter and it shrank until it could fit in a plastic bag. Clinking was heard as the group's attention was drawn upward. Like a nightmare, the candleman was perched on an overhead ledge, the fox girl standing next to him. The ring of blue flame still burning bright, the apparition laughed a deep, horrid laugh. "Give her back," the skull kid ordered. "I'm not yours anymore," the fox girl responded, acting as the candleman's voice. "I'm not anyone's. They can't hurt me anymore, Brandon. Just like they can't hurt you." "Are we out of the loop here or what?" Pumpkin asked. "Yep, totally lost," Misaka commented. "Shh, I'm trying to listen," Minora hissed. The fox girl jumped down and landed in front of the skull kid. They both removed their masks to reveal nothing underneath. The trio's eyes went wide in surprise and horror. "He changed us both," the fox girl announced. "I should have never played the game with you. We're both damned." In his head, he held a bottle of rum. The skull kid shattered it between them, smearing the ground with alcohol. "Pumpkin, do what you do best and thank you." "Gladly," the witch said, igniting a lantern bomb so massive she needed to hold it with two hands. The candleman moved to react, but Pumpkin flung her attack at his ring of fire, the resulting explosion snuffing out the candles. "Ha!" Pumpkin screamed triumphantly. "Find your own hell, jerkface!" The skull kid ignited a small flame in his palm and tossed it to the floor. Before the fox girl moved, he grabbed her and held tight while the apparition wailed like a wayward banshee. All happened in the span of a thought. The world around the trio changed as the darkest shadows receded, and the hair on the backs of their necks returned to normal. The energy around them lessened into the calm, cool October night they remembered from earlier. Minora hovered about, pleased that the night sky was back to normal. Pumpkin and Misaka slapped each other a high five. "Hey guys, look!" Minora directed their attention skyward. The trio saw a boy and girl walking off into the stars, their backs turned to them. "Wow, after all that, we still don't know what he looks like," Pumpkin commented as she pulled out the small bag with the shrunken rum. As she examined it, she noticed the bottles were broken. "Oh, son of a—" Misaka stopped her swearing short by handing out an untouched bottle of rum. Pumpkin shook her head and sighed harshly. "Well, I guess one's better than nothing," the witch noted. "Plus, we got money now, enough to do whatever we want." "Well, whatever you want. I love dungeon crawling too much," Misaka chuckled as she turned to walk back to Hollowmoor. "Yeah, what am I going to do now?" Pumpkin said to herself, trailing off as she looked towards the stars. The skull kid and fox girl were gone, and only the moon looked back at her, offering some solace that the night ended fairly. Favorably. The end. Again, this was Pumpkin Oakscourt's Hide and Seek. I apologize for all the stutters and errors I made. I haven't really done a reading in quite some time, and I'm sure that I'm going to get better at it, and the quality is going to get better, so thank you again for listening to this first episode of Heroic Fantasy on the Go. Again, I'm your host and author, T.D. McIntosh, and I wish you all a pleasant evening.